Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
This is...
Who are you?
I'm Al Craig. Pleased to meet you.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
Tick, tick, boom.
Now...
Let's get down to business.
It's time to party!
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Got my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill.
Show.
All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
Welcome into the Greg Hill Show. No Greg Hill, no Courtney, no Wiggy, no Curtis. Instead, they've left me and Jackson here alone in the studio. Oh, but we are joined by the one and only Mego. Mego, good morning. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I am fabulous. It's been a while since you've been up this early, I think. So
yes.
I'm glad you were able to make it in. No problems today.
I was a little anxious last night. I always get anxious before this shift just because I set like four different alarms on my phone.
I do that. I wake up for the show every day and I have four different alarms. So I understand.
Anytime that I listen to your guys' show and somebody has an alarm issue or they're, you know, 15 minutes. It's late because something happens. I'm like, ugh. It's like waking up for an early flight where I just can't. I don't know. And you never have
anxiety
a good night's
level through the roof.
You never have a good night's sleep before, and so I almost feel like it's worse if you do it every day because you start to have a routine, and then when something, it's much easier that way to be like, oh, I forgot to set my alarm.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I just didn't set the backup alarm, and then you sleep in.
Yeah, my body now just kind of wakes up right around the time I'm supposed to wake up anyways. So when my alarm goes off, I'm already half awake, and I'm like, all right, time to get up. Like, this is dumb. But, you know, it's fine on the weekends because then, like, when you look at the phone, it's like, oh, I don't have to actually go in today. I can sleep in. And then, well, you know, sleeping in for me and then coming in here at 9 o'clock in the morning to do a show with you on Saturday as we did this past Saturday. But how was Maine?
It was wonderful. It was beautiful. Love Maine, one of my favorite places in the whole world. And got up there, I'm trying to remember now, Thursday night, Friday morning.
Nice.
Worked from there Friday. And then Saturday did the show with you. And yesterday breezed on back. So, like, shout out to anyone who's still on vacation and for some reason up at 6 a.m. Maybe you didn't go to bed last night. We love that for you.
Yes.
But It was a total breeze coming back, and it was one really, like, other than doing this wonderful show with you, it was one really good feeling of, okay, well, I'm not going to have to sit in that Labor Day traffic on Monday, because I've done that before, and it's turns a hour, 45-minute drive into 3.5 hours, and it just can't. I can't do that anymore.
I pray for anyone leaving Cape Cod today, because that is going to be, it's just always a traffic nightmare getting in and out of there anyways, because there's only one way in, one way out most of the times. And so that is going to be a nightmare. But over the weekend, Mega, I know you were enjoying the lovely continent of Maine up there, but did you actually get to enjoy any college football? We had week one college football. It was awesome. There was a bunch of great games, all very close. Not necessarily the most exciting football games at times, but they were all close one score games, which
last
I thought
night,
was excellent.
Last night got a little spicy.
Yeah, Notre Dame-Miami was probably the best game of the weekend, I would say.
Bum me out. Yeah. I had to go to bed, so like you were getting your momentum going finally in the fourth quarter for the Fighting Irish, and I was like, I have to go to bed. I can't stay up and watch, especially because it's getting me more excited, so I'm going to have a harder time going to sleep. But yeah, that I would say that was the best game of the weekend. Arch Manning, though, has to be the headline, right?
What an ugly performance by Texas.
I feel terrible for the kid.
He, in the first half, was 5 of 10, and 3 of his 5 completions had been to running backs. That's so bad. It's like 38 yards. He really didn't get anything going until the fourth quarter. And even when he did, it was a minute 30 left. They were driving down the field. They were right at midfield trying to drive down to tie the game. Third and 5, just an easy crossing route from the receiver. Wide open, not a corner anywhere near him. And Arch like kind of throws the ball behind him a little bit. Guy bobbles it, makes the drop. Like just brutal, brutal stuff for Arch Manning in week one.
I mean, with a name like that, it's hard to be like, oh, I feel bad for the pressure on him. But yeah, it does carry that he's the next Manning. And you were already saying on Saturday when you were talking about the Micah Parsons trade, like, what if this is Luka-esque and they fall into Arch Manning to be a Dallas Cowboy? I feel like you could probably get him in a maybe later round. If we sat here today, ridiculous line to draw from one to the other. But I was thinking of you. I was thinking of your Drake May last night when I was watching Notre Dame Miami, because on one side, first of all, Miami, like, such a cluster F in the first half. Like they were not on top of their P's and Q's whatsoever. But for Notre Dame, I don't think they had a pass that went like 4 yards beyond the line of scrimmage until CJ Carr had that crazy, just like running around. I don't even know. It was Joe Milton-esque, the play that he made on the first touchdown. It was like the ultimate, no, 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 no. Yes.
Yes, this is great.
And I thought, I wonder if this is what the Patriots offense is going to look like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so
the 4 yards past the line of scrimmage, just quick game, quick game, quick game.
Oh, 100%.
Screens to death. And I was like, I feel that this is reminding me of something. This is reminding me of the offense that I watched all summer.
Yeah, it's Josh McDaniels. That's his, like, go-to. Just quick route to a receiver, quick route, tight end stick route, yes. Swing pass to the running back, screen here, screen there, quick pass, stick route. Like, that's just the way he operates. And he just takes his little chunks. But that's why I think him and Tom Brady were so good, because Tom Brady was never bloodthirsty to just rip it down the field.
Oh,
a lot
he was
of the time
patient.
He took his time waiting for the right opportunity, and then he would strike down the field. He wasn't like looking for it constantly. He wasn't aggressive towards it. He was arguably one of the most conservative and patient athletes there is. And I think that's one of the reasons that made him so great, is he never kind of got that gleam in his eye where he's like, I'm going to attack down the field.
He never went chaotic psycho.
Yeah, he never went full chaotic psycho, whereas Drake May can absolutely go chaotic psycho. So you're right. It's going to be dunk, dink and dunk, dink and dunk, dink and dunk. Broken play. Here goes Drake May running around in the pocket for 15
exactly.
seconds. Boom, 60 yards downfield, either intercepted or caught for a touchdown. I don't know.
But that's where I was thinking, like, especially with the CJ Carr thing. Okay, that is the kind of college football play that just will not translate to the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not talking about in terms of Carr, but I'm talking about in terms of for Drake May, where I'm like, when we talk about, like, the development from just the eye test perspective, not even statistical, analytical, anything like that. The development of like who he's got to be from being the gunslinger, fun, run around and make stuff happen college guy, and seeing that a lot last year as well. We need him to stay in the dink and dunk a little bit more. We need to see that he can color inside the lines before he starts, you know, drawing his own pictures.
Trying to be Van Gogh.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I understand that. I think that's one of the main reasons why I was so against the McDaniels hire at the time was just because I wanted a coordinator who would be a little bit more willing to go for chunk plays, because then I think you could corral, may not necessarily be the best word, but it's the word I'll use, corral Drake May in a way where it's like you're not necessarily taking 50, 40, 60-yard shots down the field, but you're gaining big chunks, 15 here, 20 here, 10 here, instead of just this really patient dink and dunk, lot of passes to Travion Henderson, letting him kind of do the work, a lot of passes to Pop Douglas, let him yards after the catch. And so that's kind of why I had originally been against it. But I understand the idea that, okay, we need to get this kid to just kind of paint inside the lines. And then once he understands the basics, once you have that down, then let's just like really kind of throw everything at everybody.
I like that you said paint inside the lines, because it reminds me of like a paint by number, yeah, which is exactly the kind of offense that you hate.
Yes, so, it's, you know, it makes me, it gets me so angry, because especially on a team that doesn't have, outside of Travion Henderson, like super explosive playmakers, that style of offense works really well with guys who can get a lot of yards after the catch.
Yes.
You have your best receiver is a 30-year-old, 31-year-old receiver coming off an ACL injury. You have Pop Douglas who might be able to do that, but we don't really know. Hunter Henry is just going to catch it and go down, basically. And then there's Mac Hollins, who is not a yards after catch guy. So I just look at this offense and I'm like, it's great in theory, but how many yards after catch, how many yards can you generate kind of with these short passes?
Dude, the wide receiver from Notre Dame last night, Jordan Faison, number 6, that was a yards after catch guy.
Yeah.
Just saying, he jumped off the screen immediately. He was like making that offense go for the anything that they got the first quarter. So they got to get their running back more involved. This is not a Notre Dame-centric show. I was just thinking about how it relates to the Patriots. And the offense for the Patriots just still has so many question marks to me. Especially,
for sure.
I know that we focused on Jabril Peppers getting cut, and we'll get into more of that later in the show. But I do feel like this is a team that maybe since the Cam Newton year, maybe even well before that, do you remember having so little of an idea of what the offense was going to look like?
You know, like Cam Newton. I had no idea. I just assumed.
With Cam Newton, we were kind of like, how much does he have left in the tank? And
yeah,
and we were fooled a bit from 6 weeks.
And you knew there would be those power runs just because that's who Cam Newton was?
Like, okay, so last year, we knew that they were stupidly going to start Jacoby Brissett.
Dumb.
But we knew that the offensive line was terrible. And other than that, like, we just had such low standards. The whole idea was, well, your defense is going to win any games that you can win, and you just have to be able to put up like double-digit points.
Which ended up being the case. I mean, you got the win against Cincinnati because you put up, what, 16 points, and your defense played great, and Cincinnati was really bad. And then you beat the Bears because you sacked Caleb Williams like 10 times. And then you beat the Jets in a relatively high-scoring game that your defense didn't necessarily win for you. And then you beat the Bills in a game that they didn't want to win.
Yeah, I think that this offense is just a real cipher. And yeah, I think that's what people are dancing around in all of their expectations, and why people's expectations in the media from a fan perspective seem to like change with the direction of the wind every other week, saying, oh, they're going to be a 10-win team. No, they're maybe going to be an 8-win team. Oh, like this person's going to be great. Oh, no, maybe it's going to be more of a running team. And I think it's just because between the offensive line, the second-year quarterback, the 31-year-old coming off a torn ACL who was on pace for a 1,000-yard season and had a 1,000-yard season every other year, there are a ton of question marks on the offense, and it feels like they could be the type that puts up at 20, 21 points a game, or it could be like closer to last year, which would be horrible.
Yeah, I feel like it won't be, it definitely won't look as bad as last year,
no.
In my opinion. Like, it'll at least look like a professional outfit, which is, I guess, is nice. And I also think Josh McDaniels is not going to allow for nearly as many turnovers. He's, because if you start turning the football, he's just going to run the ball. He's not, and so will Vrabel. They seem very much, at the very least, on the same page about that one thing, is we're not going to turn the football over. And if you're going to be stupid about it, we're going to make sure that you physically can't do it by giving you play calls that cannot turn the football over. Whether it's Drake May throwing interceptions or fumbling, or Ramondre Stevenson fumbling, his ass will get benched if that happens. So I think that's the one kind of constant, is this will be a professional outfit. Alex Van Pelt is not standing there tapping Drake May on the buttocks and being like, hey, get in there, champ. You can do this, and not really helping him out. Josh McDaniels is very familiar with what to do and how to do it, even if it's very conservative and I don't particularly like it. So I think that is a good step in the right direction. And then kind of what the actual offense will look like, though, is still just a mystery to everybody. And I don't think we'll fully understand it until we see them against the Raiders in week one.
I hear you. My only concern about McDaniels is that we're all kind of penciling in that he is going to have an offense that can definitely put points on the board. Like, I agree that he's not going to let the team turn the ball over, but I was thinking about this after. Do you remember the Ringer's Sheil Kapadia put out that write-up of all the different teams and their mm-hmm. expectations? And I think it was quarterback-centric. And he cited McDaniels as an issue for
yes.
the team.
Like me, is very much not a McDaniels guy.
Yes. So I wrote up the five most pivotal Patriots for WEI last week. It was a Friday on a holiday weekend, so I understand if people out there didn't get to
but
read
please,
it yet.
But please, go read it if you haven't.
But it's still available. But I cited Josh McDaniels as one of the most pivotal pieces of the team, because if you look at his teams without Bill Belichick as the head coach, whether it's him as the offensive coordinator in St. Louis or as a head coach on his own, they finish 20th, 19th, 32nd,
yep.
that's St. Louis, 12th and 23rd in points scored as a team in their respective seasons. And none of those are top 10 scoring teams. 12th is okay. Like, if yeah. this team was 12th in points scored, I think that you'd be in a really good position. But I don't know that you look at the pieces on this team and you say, well, the scheme is going to make up for the gap in talent that you might still have at certain areas. I'm actually a little bit higher on the wide receivers than I think a lot of people that I talk to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is some real upside compared to last year, but I'm high on those receivers compared to last year. And I think the question is, can you get this team in a position where, in terms of ranking of points scored, it's like, can they be top 20? Can they be a top 18 team?
Yeah.
I think that will be the difference between you being a playoff team or not.
And I think the one thing to look at when you do look at those McDaniels numbers, you're right, they aren't great. And that's one of the big reasons I didn't love him coming in, because outside of Tom Brady, he's never been a great offensive coordinator with just kind of like whatever he's dealt with. But at the same time, to his credit, he also hasn't had the best quarterbacks, right? When he was in St. Louis, it was Sam Bradford. And then you saw in Denver, he had guys like Tim Tebow. And when he was in Vegas, it was the Brian Hoyer, Aiden O'Connell, Jimmy Garoppolo show out there. And so he has never had a quarterback quite like Drake May outside of Tom Brady, leaving that completely separate. Like, he's never had a quarterback as good as Drake May when he's been out on his own. So I'm curious to see what it looks like knowing he has a quarterback with so many different skills than guys he's worked with previously, especially the mobility, the arm strength. All of those things are just so much different than McDaniels has been used to in the past. And I think that's kind of like the one avenue for optimism, is that, okay, this kid can do so much more than Aiden O'Connell could do. And even with Aiden O'Connell, like, he still had Davante Adams had like 1,200 yards, and Jacoby Myers was, at like 850. So, like, they were producing offense, whether they were producing points or not, maybe not, but, like, they were producing offense. And so, okay, McDaniels can at least produce offense. Can they get in the end zone? And I think that's kind of like the one possible avenue for optimism, is that just Drake May is just better than every other quarterback he's been with.
Yeah, and I think, like, again, from what I said a couple of minutes ago, I think Josh McDaniels will be really good for Drake May and good for Drake May's development. He's kind of what he needs at this point in his development as an NFL quarterback, sure, like we talked about before, going from the scramble around, make stuff happen guy in college to being the professional, patient, ice in the veins, can execute the 2-minute drill, but can also pick apart an offense and exercise that patience when he needs to. I just don't know that as constituted with the team, combined with that McDaniels mindset, that that leads you to be a top 20 scoring team in the league.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in today. You can talk about the Patriots offense, kind of what your expectations are for them this season. Kind of how good do you think Josh McDaniels will be with that offense? We got a lot to get to today. We'll get to the Sox. They almost got swept by the Pirates, but they didn't, thankfully. We'll get to that. Aroldis Chapman got an extension. We'll also, Mego and I will give you our official NFL season-long predictions. Who wins the Super Bowl? Who wins the conferences? MVP? First coach fired? You know the deal. We'll get to all of those things coming up here. Chapel Bill. Bill Belichick plays tonight his first game as head coach of UNC. They're hosting the TCU Horned Frogs, which you can catch right here on WEEI. We will get to all of that over the course of the show, but right now let's get you caught up with what is trending in sports.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Awaken 180. The Sox take the final game against the Pirates 5-2. Lucas Giolito went 6 innings, allowing 1 run and striking out 6. That score brought to you by the Mass State Lottery. Let's make it the best night ever. Grab your friends, pick your numbers, and celebrate the night with Keno and the Mass State Lottery. Must be 18 years or older to play. The Sox welcome in the Guardians to Fenway Park this afternoon. First pitch, 1:35. We've got Brian Baio on the mound, opposite Parker Messick. Lenny DiNardo and Cooper Boardman on the call right here on the show. Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Joe Weil at 12:35 for the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show. College football kicked off this weekend, as me and Mego touched on briefly just a couple minutes ago. Had a few bangers. Saturday, we saw number 3 Ohio State beat number 1 Texas 14-7. Number 9 LSU beat Clemson, number 4 Clemson, 17-10. And then yesterday, number 10 Miami beat number 6 Notre Dame 27-24. And Bill O'Brien, our friend over at BC, got a big, big win in their opening weekend, as they dominated on their way to a 1-0 record. We get the first game for Bill Belichick as the head coach of UNC as the Tar Heels welcome in TCU tonight. Kickoff for that one is at 8 o'clock. You can catch all the action right here on WEEI. That trending was brought to you by Awaken 180. Back to work, school, it's happening. Real life, routine shouldn't be a bad word. How about winning rhythm? Losing weight every week with Awaken 180 and looking forward each day and every weigh-in. Fast results, awaken180weightloss.com. That's what's trending. We'll be back with some more Patriots talk and the leads coming up here on the Greg Hill Show with Mego and Sean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave Butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This is the Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Just Shyman Jackson from the original crew here today. Mego also filling in alongside. So a little bit of Mego and Shyman filling in for the Greg Hill Show on this Labor Day Monday. Happy Labor Day to anybody out there listening at this early hour, which is basically not many people, I bet. Most people sleeping in on a holiday since they don't have to go to work. But we're here. We're grinding away, Mego.
Yeah, you sound super excited about it.
I think I've just had a long weekend.
Everybody's sleeping in. Nobody's listening. It's a holiday. There are people out there who on this Labor Day are going to labor. They're going to their works and their works.
Yep.
Their jobs. Going to their works.
Their works.
And so we got to be there for them, Shyme.
Oh, I'm here for them.
We
got to
pick it up
wrong here.
Oh,
come on. I'm
pick
always
it up
high
here,
energy.
Shyme, we had a whole weekend of college football.
Mm-hmm.
You had Texas, Clemson,
yes,
and Notre Dame toppled in week one.
Falcon, I told you, by the way, if you, anybody who would listen to our show on Saturday, I said, hey, weird money coming in on Texas way too much. Ohio State became the underdog briefly. I'm like, people should be taking Ohio State.
That was real dumb.
Yeah.
That was real dumb.
The betting people.
From the betting people.
100%.
And
the guy who bet $1 million on Texas really regrets that.
We have 3 days until NFL football returns.
Oh, Mego, I'm so happy. I cannot express to you. I know my attitude may seem a little less than positive right now, or just my energy seems a little toned down, but I cannot explain to you how excited I am for Thursday night to watch the Eagles absolutely decimate the Cowboys, who no longer have Micah Parsons in week one. It's going to be tremendous.
The Cowboys should be flexed out of that game. They
100%.
Should have to play that game.
I don't know why they played that game there
in 1 p.m. when there are 7 other games.
Why couldn't we have just gotten Eagles Chiefs there? The Eagles play a million great games this year. Why could we not have gotten anybody outside of Dallas?
Because they want the stupid rivalry that doesn't really exist anymore.
Put that on like a Thursday night. Nobody cares about that.
Well, like, I mean, it is a Thursday night.
Like all of these games. Oh, that's true. Fair point. All of
but
these,
it is the premier game.
All of these games would have been better for opening night. You can't do at Chiefs because you have to do it at home. So the Rams at home. Give me the Lions. Ooh, Lions-Eagles would have been so good to open the season.
No, we're not talking about flexing the game.
Commanders.
We are talking about flexing the opponent.
Yeah.
Like, the Dallas should have to give up one of their primetime spots because
100%.
They traded Micah Parsons. They should not be allowed to be a primetime team because they're so stupid and they're going to
so
be so boring to watch.
And I was reading Burt Breer's write-up, like, post-Micah Parsons trade, like, what we know now, and just, it was just such a mess down there. And there's clearly some mudslinging going on from both sides. Like, they're trying to paint it like Micah Parsons isn't quite the best teammate. And
he's starting a podcast. He's such a menace.
It's, you know, exactly. People were upset that he has a podcast, even though, like, there's a million podcasts out there. And
athlete has a podcast now.
Yeah, and that he...
Derek White has a podcast.
Do you remember, who was it? Was it Jamie Collins that on his way out, everybody was like, yeah, he freestyles too much?
Oh, my God.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, but that's idiotic.
Yeah, there was a linebacker. I want to say it was Jamie Collins when he got traded. He's like, yeah, he doesn't play in the structure of the defense enough. He tries to, he freelances, and he's just kind of doing his own thing. And now they're trying to say that that's one of the reasons why they were fine with trading Micah Parsons, because he sacrifices the actual play a lot of the time just to try and make a big play, which he did, because he had 12-plus
like
sacks.
That's such a cop-out thing to say about anyone on the pass rush. Like, anyone playing edge should be like, oh, yeah, he just wants his stats. He just wants this and that. It's like, what do you want him to do? Not go for the quarterback?
He's a generational pass rusher who has 12-plus sacks every single season. Like, what do you want him to do?
Yeah,
like,
but only because he's trying to get his sacks. Like, I hate when people say that argument.
Like, the defense, the Dallas defense was dead last with him off the field. With him on the field, at least they were, like, top five in EPA. It's stupid.
Yeah, I think Burt Breer said he didn't name the teams, but in that Sports Illustrated report, he said that six teams had reached out to the Cowboys.
Correct.
To which I also am wondering, who were these other teams that they didn't have something better to dangle than the Packers, who are going to be giving really low-level first-round picks?
Well, like, on top of that, though, he made it seem like, and this is just my interpretation, is he made it seem like when those six teams called, originally the Cowboys had zero interest in even dealing with them. So I don't even know that they got offers from those six teams. Six teams just happened to call and
just
be like,
say,
hey,
are you serious?
Yeah, get a temperature check. Are you actually considering trading Micah Parsons? And what they were told was no. And then what Green Bay did was they were like, hey, we're willing to trade you two firsts and Kenny Clark without even asking if he's available. And then he's like, ooh, I really like Kenny Clark. Kenny Clark's awesome. He's going to fix our run defense in the middle of our defense, even though he's 30 years old and on the downswing of his career.
Yeah, you can't miss on a 30-year-old defensive tackle when you have the opportunity to take him.
No, you can't. Well, and this is one of the things I heard. I was listening to Bill Simmons and Cousin Sal. They were doing their first, like, Guest the Lines podcast of the year. And they were talking about how there's a Dallas guy who's very in tune with Dallas, who talks about how the Cowboys just, like, find guys across the NFL that they become enamored with, and they'll do anything to get them. Like, when they traded a fourth-round pick for Jonathan Mingo, who I don't think has taken an NFL snap now at this point. It's like Kenny Clark just happened to be one of those Cowboys guys where they're like, oh, man, I love Kenny Clark. We get Kenny Clark and two first-round picks for Micah Parsons. This is a steal. When in reality, you probably could have gotten, like, four first-round picks.
Yeah, I also listen to that. I think it's kind of like when you go see a band very early on and you claim your allegiance to this band, and then you have to, like, hold on for
a record or two too long
and be like, okay, you know what? They had one good record. I can't defend the choices. The creative choices that they're making don't make sense anymore.
I am very much like the Cowboys, though. I had, back many, many moons ago when I was producing the midday show here, Rich Keefe was one of the hosts, and Keefe pointed out to me just the other day, I used to have a list of Shimes guys. They were guys that I felt like I was on the boat first, and they will always be like, they're like my guy.
Give me
my
a couple
herd.
Examples. Like, who would these guys be?
Lamar Jackson was at the
top
of the list.
Come on. You can't just talking about guys that you become enamored with that you should move on from.
No. So I was in on Lamar Jackson before he won the MVP, his first MVP. I predicted he would win the MVP. That's why he was a Shimes guy. Anthony Richardson and Justin Fields were both Shimes guys. I have since separated from Anthony Richardson. I'm still kind of like, It's a
give
will
the
they
ghost.
Won't they with Justin Fields.
You can't with Justin
I'm like
Fields,
really
man.
Hoping that with the Jets he might actually be kind of good. So that's tough. Kyle Pitts, another Shimes guy. I can't quit Kyle Pitts. I think he's going to be great this year. He's probably going to be terrible, but he had 1,000 yards his rookie year. I'm still enamored with him. I love Kyle Pitts. So those are a few examples of Shimes guys for you.
Okay. Well, I like that. I mean, I like to feel like I adopt young players.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. That's what it's like. I find these puppies just like in the
For
wild
me,
and I
mine,
take them in.
Mine from the recent past, of course, have been from the Celtics, Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah, of course.
Many moons ago when Brad Stevens was still the head coach. J.J. Taylor was a big one for me.
Ooh, Patriots running back J.J. Taylor.
The way
yes.
I love J.J. Taylor. I still...
EC3's got to be one of your guys, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's the most recent one.
Yeah. He's the newest one.
You know what? I'm trying to be a little less weird with that.
That's okay. I don't think you're weird about it. It's fine. 617-779-7937. Mego and Shime filling in for the Greg Hill Show today. But right now, it is time to get to the leads.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for the lead.
This one's a slam dunk, Jackson. Under pressure. Oh, the leads, hold on. They're brought to you by Subaru of New England. With so much to love, don't miss the Subaru of New England A Lot to Love event. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Jackson, what's your lead this morning?
Well, I played that song for a reason. And if we had Twitch today, which we don't, I would show you a fantastic video of my mother rocking out to a Queen tribute band last night. My mother is obsessed with Queen. She just got obsessed with them within the last 10 to 15 years-ish. With
she
the
just
advent.
Discovered them?
Yeah, with the advent of YouTube. She discovered YouTube and then soon after discovered Queen.
But how old is your mother?
She's in her 70s.
So she didn't know about Queen like the she entire just, time they were super
during,
popular?
During Freddie Mercury's lifetime.
Well, I mean, my brother and I were born around that, you know, in the mid-80s. So she had, you know, bigger fish to fry. And when she...
Interesting. Okay.
And then, you know, with the internet and YouTube, she, instead of, you know, waiting for the, you know, radio to play that one song she wanted to hear, she can discover all of them at once. And it was like, you know, her head exploded and she's obsessed with them.
Interesting. So... Okay. So she had never really heard a Queen song prior to that, and now with the advent of YouTube, she is a Queen super fan.
All in. And so she seeks out tribute bands, cover bands, whatnot, and last night she, I don't want to say dragged me because I had an excellent time, but I didn't know about it until about an hour before. She's like, we're going to Plymouth, we're going to see Queen, or A Night with Queen, they're a band called Gary Mullen and the Works. And if you want to see a tribute band that gets the band that you're trying to do on point, this band is the one to see. They played at Lowell the night before, your hometown there.
Yeah.
And then they're playing in Connecticut, I believe, tomorrow. They're amazing. I was kind of down on tribute and cover bands until I saw this band because I think it's kind of goofy, but I'm going to be looking for a Metallica cover band if that's what it's like. These guys were like rock stars. It was great. So good looks to them. And my mom's awesome.
That's pretty tough because you got to do Freddie Mercury. I mean, if I was going to be somebody trying to be in a cover band and emulate a lead singer or frontman, that's probably one of the last ones I'd want to go towards because his range is so insane.
The guy dressed like him, spoke like him, looked like him, and much most importantly, sounded fantastic. He's no Freddy, but absolutely nobody is. But if there's going to be somebody doing it and getting paid for it, this guy's awesome.
Wasn't there a story of Freddie Mercury had extra teeth in his jaw?
He had bigger teeth, and so he had a bigger mouth cavity.
Yeah, he had a bigger mouth.
He had a huge overbite.
Well, I have that, but I'm not a great singer.
Well, you might be. You might be able to get some echo out of that. But
I do think that there was something where, like, his back molars or something were set differently, or he had
he did not get it fixed.
An extra pair of teeth or something, and it helped him as a singer because it basically is like having an extra large horn that you can project
out. Yeah, he didn't get it fixed to keep the echo chamber.
I didn't know that. That's a fun fact. I'm learning now. I have heard of people...
You have heard of Freddie Mercury before the last 10 years?
Yes, I have. I have heard of people, though, whose mouths are too small and have had to get multiple teeth pulled in order for the rest of their teeth to fit in their mouth. Yeah. Mm.
So I have a really big mouth, but...
Same.
like physically a big mouth, but I still had to get one of those palate spreaders... Do you
really?
Know what those are?
Yeah, the ones
with
that stick
the
at the top. Yeah, and you have to, like, twist it.
Yeah, so you have, like, all the metal that is on the roof of your mouth, and then you have to take a key, or you have to have someone like your parent when you're 11 or 12 years old, and they turn it every day to expand the palate out because the teeth are too crowded in. Like, they sit too close in, even though my mouth is really big. And so, yeah, orthodontia. I feel like we should kind of progress beyond some of these orthodontic, like, very medieval.
They feel very medieval, factors. Right? Like these giant metal brackets in your mouth that push your...
I had everything short of headgear. Like, I had, remember, I'm not kidding. Like, I had the palate spreader. I had, remember you would put those, did you have braces?
No.
Okay,
I never
so
had
one
to.
Of the things that they did, I don't know if they still do this. This was, like, in the 2000s, you put little metal brackets on the back, like, but they basically circle the entire molar. And so in order to put this bracket on your tooth, they basically sit the bracket on top of your tooth, and then they have you chomp down on something, so the bracket just, boom, slams and, like, circles the entire tooth, but you have to get the right size. So for my orthodontist, I had to go through, like, four different sizes. So
holy
then they
smokes.
Yank it back off. And then they do it again. And then they yank it back off. And then they do it again.
Oh, is that like scraping your teeth and your gums
and
stuff? Oh.
It's awful.
That sounds like a nightmare.
And then what you do with that is then you're able to put the little mini rubber bands on the teeth. So from the top to the bottom. And that's where you're trying to pull that overbite back. There were not strong enough rubber bands in the world for my overbite.
How old were you when you had braces?
I had braces from 5th until 9th grade.
Oh, because I was going to say, I was like, all I can picture is the girl from Finding Nemo who has the fish in the bag and is just shaking it. Like, I am Blago!
No. Yeah, Blago with the braces. No, it was probably, actually, it was probably going into 6th grade. 6th grade, 9th grade, it was a long time. It was a lot of brace work.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. The only, like, orthodontal work, I guess, technically, that I needed done was I got my wisdom teeth out, and that was like a weekend, and that was it. Outside of that,
sick brag, bro.
Thank you. Yep. I have overall had a relatively easy time with that, which has been kind of nice in my
life. That's really unusual, I feel like,
yeah,
for modern times now to be able to have nice enough teeth that you can go through without any kind of brace work at all.
None. Yeah, no palate expanders, no braces. I don't need Invisalign, none of it.
And the worst part is now,
weird flex,
like,
I know.
My teeth have shifted so much because I just stopped wearing my retainers at some point, probably in college.
Yeah.
You know, and I still have one. I keep it in my jewelry box. It's disgusting.
It's like a souvenir.
Well, I don't know what to do with it. I'm like, this thing is thousands of dollars. I can't use it anymore because my teeth have shifted too much. I don't want to go with the full Invisalign thing.
So total aside, I know you've been big into watching Jeopardy this summer.
Yes.
Have you ever seen the show The 1% Club?
No, what is that?
So it's like a newer game show, and basically, like, they start at 90% and they work their way down, and every question, it's like 90% of America can answer this question right, 80%, 60%, 50%, and it keeps working its way down until a 1% question. There was a woman on the show who had a tooth from every one of her previous lovers.
Ew, is she a serial killer?
That was my first instinct as well, but we were talking about dental stuff, so I figured I'd bring it up.
Wait.
Do you find this odd?
Is that a question? They're like, name this person, or that was her fun fact about
herself? No, so like,
Joel
McHale is the host of the show, and so like, he'll just like randomly interview people among the crowd, and she's like, yeah, like, I have a tooth from all of my previous lovers, and she's like, no, like, I didn't pull the tooth. Like, the first one just kind of, like, happened, and, like, he, like, gave it to me. And she's like, it was kind of like a romantic gesture. And then, like, since then, every other lover has just given me one.
Often are adults losing single teeth?
That's a great question, Mego. I'm unsure, but I figured I would share with the class. I was like, oh, can you make, like, a tooth necklace out of that? Like, is that what you're going for? Are you doing witchcraft?
Yeah,
I'm not
this
really
is
sure.
Like Mad Max Fury Road. That's disgusting. That person should be investigated.
So, aside from teeth, how do you feel about keeping souvenirs of all your past lovers?
Creepy.
Really weird.
Like, I, what do you mean by souvenirs? Like love letters or?
I don't know. Anything.
Jewelry.
No,
it should not be a body part. You should not keep a body part from your past lover. That is so creepy. Also, we should stop saying past lovers.
Why?
It sounds creepy. Just say exes.
Okay. 617-779-7937. Good job, Jackson, on the lead. Mego and I will give our leads coming up next year.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
The Greg Hill Show.
Becca and Chime here, filling in for the Greg Hill Show on this Labor Day Monday. Happy Labor Day to you all. If you're out there working, I appreciate you. Thanks for listening. If you're just enjoying your day off and you're listening to us with your nice cup of coffee, thank you for that as well. You can also listen to us anywhere you go if you download the Audacy app, AUDACY. Take us on the road, in your home, in your work, wherever you are. You can listen to WEEI right there on the Audacy app. Normally, we'd be streaming on Twitch. Unfortunately, today, we are not. If we were, it'd be brought to you by Springer's Jewelers.
Have you been in on this Oasis tour at all? Have you been following it at all?
No, so somebody tweeted at me yesterday. I think it was from MetLife. That they were like, oh, yeah, here's Oasis with Wonderwall. And I was like, I didn't really get it, but I was like, oh, cool. If you're going to see Oasis, nice.
Are you an Oasis person?
I like them, but I'm not dying to go, like, see them in concert or anything like that.
Oasis has become a problem in my personal life.
Uh-oh. What, is your husband, like, super into Oasis?
Well, no.
Kind of like he is into Rooster?
He never, okay. Alice in Chains is just repellent, too. I understand Rooster is about a Vietnam vet. Alice in Chains, it's just, it's
funny.
Repellent to most girlfriends and wives. I can't explain it. Like, I love grunge and I love rock music. Alice in Chains, maybe it's Man in the Box that they have to play that on every game.
Probably.
On every alternative station 10 times a day, even though it's not a good song. I mean, I'm not winning the men over. I'm going to stop myself
it's
here.
Okay.
But with Oasis, so yeah, my husband has been trying to get me to admit that Oasis is how did he phrase this? The biggest band right now.
No, it's not even, what? No.
That they are the biggest rock band, alternative band right now. That the Oasis reunion tour is bigger than anything else happening in alternative or rock music right now. And the reason he's doing this is because many, many years ago, one of the brothers from Oasis said something very disparaging against one of my favorite bands, which is Radiohead.
Yes.
And this is the nerdiest duel in, like,
love this, okay,
the history of alternative 90s alt indie music. And ever since then, I'm like, I think Oasis is just a couple of jerks. Even though they have a couple good songs, but now I'm like, I love Radiohead, so I can't be with Oasis. And my husband just is trying to, I can't really, like, think of any other band that's bigger than Oasis right now, which is insane because it's like a 30-year reunion tour.
Yeah, I also think that's, though, in large part just because it's like the state of rock and alternative rock a little bit. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, I think there's other bands that are probably bigger and more popular, but they're not necessarily in that rock, alt-rock genre.
Like what? What is a band where people are actually playing their instruments, writing their own music, and in an alternative rock space that's bigger than Oasis right
now.
Yeah,
in an alternative rock space, I don't think I could name one off the top of my head.
I also keep seeing Rob Bradford from Our Own Baseball Isn't Boring talking to Red Sox players who do not know who Pearl Jam is.
Yeah, Marcelo Meyer didn't know. And Roman Anthony. They don't know.
How is that possible?
Because they're 22 years old.
I know, but when I was 22, I knew bands from the 70s. I knew who Led Zeppelin was.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess, but I don't know. Does Anthony strike you as a huge Pearl Jam guy?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, why not? He's definitely, like, totally within that age. Like, Pearl Jam is old for me.
Oh, he might be in that age, but...
Pearl Jam is old for you.
Yeah, very, very much so. Like, I am familiar with Pearl Jam. I'm not, like, intimately familiar with their work. I can name, like, five Pearl Jam songs.
Pearl Jam fans are, like, a bit of gatekeepers.
They're not even gatekeepers. They're also kind of, like...
Snobby?
Yeah, super snobby about Pearl Jam. Yes. They're like, Pearl Jam's, like, the greatest band ever. Like, what are you talking about? Like, they're that kind of people. But, you know, I guess to each their own.
I know Craig Breslin's a huge... I like Pearl Jam out of all the grunge bands.
Yeah, they're fine.
Pearl Jam's probably my favorite, and that makes me super basic. But I'm sorry to say, women just are not fans of Alice in Chains.
No.
Stop trying to get to buy into Alice in Chains.
Stop trying to make fetch happen with Alice in Chains.
R.I.P. Lane Staley. It's just not for us. I speak for all of the women who are married to Alice in Chains fans.
Okay.
Yeah, here come the roosters.
You need to turn that off. Michael might leave.
I don't know. You know what? I'm not going to go into the specifics. Okay. Already the text line is upset saying Alice in Chains are gods. Knock it off. I get it. I'm just telling you. Like,
if there is
a wife or girlfriend out there, a partner of an Alice in Chains head, and you can call in and tell me that you have grown to love Alice in Chains and tell me how, I would love to hear
it. I am intimately familiar with this situation because...
You are?
Yeah, because my fiance loves that kind of music. Like,
what is this, quote, kind of music?
She loves Alice in Chains. She loves all these bands that I'm not familiar with.
Like, I like Stone Temple Pilots.
Stone Temple Pilots are great.
Like, grunge that isn't necessarily, like, straight grunge, but almost grunge adjacent. Like, Alice in Chains is grunge, but a little bit heavier than Nirvana. But I just can't get there.
Yeah, I don't.
I think
don't.
It's too dark for me. It's too depressing.
Well, and that's the weird thing, right? Like, I love... like emo pop and punk pop pop punk. Thank you. I don't know why pop punk. Like, I love all that stuff, which can get, when you actually listen to lyrics, pretty depressing. But
yeah.
But like, I guess maybe it's just like the melodies and the beats and stuff aren't nearly as depressing, and so that's probably why I like it a little bit more upbeat when it comes to the actual musicality of it. But I don't love like that grunge era. It just never did it for me.
But your soon to be wife is a big Alice in Chains fan.
Yeah, and so like I've heard.
So
Rooster
what do you have
times,
to do
like,
with it?
Well, they are not quite as repellent to me as they are to you. But I am
rude saying it's repellent.
I think that's fine. I have reached a state of indifference. It does not cause me joy. It does not cause me angry. Like, anger. Like, it's just
the Oasis
right down the middle.
And Alice in Chains being played in my house is going to tear this relationship apart.
Honestly, though, I think we mentioned the guys who are kind of elitist about Pearl Jam. I think the Oasis fans are worse.
Really?
Yeah. Like, John Anderson, who I used to produce with every day, was a big Oasis fan. I feel like he was also a bit of an elitist Oasis fan.
Did he try to talk to you about, like, music theory with Oasis?
Yeah, like, Oasis is, like, one of the greatest bands of all time and stuff like that. I'm like, all right.
Slow down.
I was like, I can name, like, three Oasis songs, okay? Like, relax.
My mom thought Wonderwall was Waterfall up until about 2 years ago. And I said,
don't go chasing Wonderwalls.
I said, Mom, like, you're my waterfall? That doesn't make any sense. And she said, well, what's a Wonderwall? And I said, that's fair.
That
fair comeback from Mom.
Who discovered the correct answer first? Your mom figuring out it was Wonderwall or Jackson's mom figuring out that Queen existed? Mego, real quick, what is your lead today? Since we should probably sneak these in.
Do you want to do these right now?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Let's take a break. We'll get to me and Mego's leads here. Top of the hour. 617-779-7937 if you want to call in this morning. You can also text to that number. Shout out to the 207 Sports. We'll do that next year on the Greg Hill Show with Mego and Shime.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.